All right, we might be a very intimate group today, which I always love. But let's take a moment and get settled. And so wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes if that's comfortable for you, or to simply go inwards. Feeling your chair beneath you, feeling the ground beneath you, and giving yourself opportunity to settle in to this moment. And just being with your breath and your body. Noticing the subtleties of how your body moves as you inhale and exhale. Giving yourself permission to arrive. And bringing all of yourself present. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in. And allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our call. Okay, so we are a small group today, so we'll use it to our advantage. Lissa, I love that you already have your hand raised. I'm so glad. We're going to do a short exercise before we open up for Q&A. And then we'll get to it. So we are, in terms of like the calendar year, we're halfway, just a little bit past the halfway point of the calendar year. And so it's a really good moment to do some assessing of where we are in our work, in our business, no matter if it's been an awesome 6 months or like you're not so excited about your last 6 months. Doing assessments can be a really useful tool, a tool to help us see what's working, you know, because it's not, even if it feels like nothing is working, there are things that are working, right? And it's really good to recognize what is working, to recognize our resources so that we can lean into them more. And then it's also good to see, okay, what isn't working so well that wants some attention. I have a lot in my business that is working really well. I have a lot in my business that's not working well. And I do not anticipate that there will ever be a moment that I won't have a lot of things that aren't working well. The goal is not to I don't even want to call it problems, right? Whatever you want to call it. Like that's not the goal. And the goal also isn't like to fix everything that isn't quite working well. The goal is to see, okay, where is the next place that can get me the most bang for my buck? So all that being said, we won't do a full assessment, but I want to just look lightly because I feel like it will be helpful. So let's start with what's working well. I want you to think about your business, and that includes your client, you know, your practice as well, your work with your clients. And what are the things that, you know, of course everything can always be improved upon, but like, what are the things that are solid, that are working well, that are true assets for you. So examples, there can be so many things that go into this list, but example is like, you're really clear on your niche or your ideal client, right? That is an asset that's working well for you. If enrollment conversations, you know, if you have, if you're converting at least one out of every three people that you speak to, even one out of every four, like that's an asset, right? That's working well for you. If you are posting on social media regularly, that's working well for you. Now, there might be parts of it, right, that we'll get to that want to be tweaked, right? If you have clients that share referrals or re-sign, that's working well for you. What are the things that are working well for you? If you're enjoying your work, put that down too, right? That's working well for you. So everybody here, no matter where you are in your business, should have at least like six or seven things, if not many more, things that are working well, that are assets, that are solid in your business. Maybe your scheduling system is solid, right? Your clients with relative ease can schedule in ways that work for them and work for you. Maybe your payment system is solid, is working well. It's an asset, a resource that you have. What are the things? Hey, Penny, we're doing a little bit of an assessment. So what are the things in your business that are assets, that are resources, that are working really well right now? Nothing is too small for this list. It can be inner pieces too. I'm gonna give you like another full minute and a half because there are more things, like there are more resources in your business than you realize. I want you to find them. Hey, Stephanie, we're doing an assessment. So I asked the question of what's working really well in your business that's an asset or a resource. Anything from you've got a pretty good sense of your ideal client to your enrollment process is working well, to scheduling, to re-signs, to referrals. So just take some time to really see like where are the assets in your business? What's really solid? What's working really well right now? And again, everyone should have at least six or seven things on this list, if not more. This is in part about celebrating, but it's also about leaning in, like making sure that you're using the resources that you've already created in your business. And if I'd love to also just hear some shares in the chat. What are some things that made their way onto your list so that, you know, we all have some more ideas? What's working really well in your marketing, in your work, in your systems, on an inner level? What have you guys got? Clients have been re-signing. Yay, Dana, that's awesome. What else? Let's have some more shares. What else is working well? What else is a resource? There's few enough of us here that I will call on everyone if you don't see shares. Nicole's saying client conversations. Nicole, I want you to get more clear on the visibility. Break that down even more. What about your visibility is working really well? 4-day work week. Yes. Mastermind. Good. Involve good. So what are the resources within that? So you've worked through challenging issues with two clients. What is solid for you? What are the resources that have allowed you to do that? So for example, some of it might be your coaching skills. Some of it might be about like the actual systems and the containers that you have that allowed you to move through that. So that's awesome. Like that's a celebration what you're sharing. But now I want you to like get into the where's the resource there? And he's more confident about enrolling conversations. Good. Making proposals. People are resigning. Awesome. Stephanie, your work with your VA and production, that feels like a big shift because I feel like team for a while was right. So that's great. And your skills are on point. Yeah. And the thrills, the clients that you have are thrilled with outcomes and you have an office space. Okay. So first thing, you know, we always, as human beings, we tend to focus on what's not working and we're going to get there. But what I want to offer to you is that as you move forward and grow your business, the first place that you always want to focus on is leaning in more to what's already working well. Leaning in more and leveraging what is already working well. Because we know that those are tried and true, right? We know that those are tried and true strengths and resources that are already there for you to help your business grow. So before you go to like fix anything or try new things or like new strategies or new, you know, whatever it is, you wanna lean in more to what's already working. So for example, Nicole just shared, people know how to find me and know me because of my blog post, right? So that would be a place to lean in even more because you know that that works. So how can that either get more consistent or how can you even up-level the blog posts even more? A number of people wrote, client, you have clients that re-sign, right? So number one, like that's where you want to put energy, right? Before you put energy to like bringing new people in, of course you want to do that too. You want to lean into how can I leverage this even more, right? And leveraging this even more, maybe, you know, are there ways to up level even the re-sign process? That's one. Another example of leaning in more there would be like, when people resign, do they actually want a bigger package with me or, you know, whatever that is, right? So you want to lean in to the resources and the strengths. And let me pause here for a moment. Thoughts, any thoughts or questions coming together on the strengths and resources, what's working well?
I really wish I had more and that it was easier to do is something that I noticed.
Say that again.
I really wish that it was easier to do at this point. Yeah, it felt like kind of a stretch.
So what are some things that ended up on your list?
It's just like everything is okay. Like client work is okay. I have a safe space for people. Resign's okay. Yeah, walk through like challenging moments with clients. Yeah, it was just that it's like, I think that there's like a judgment or a reflection that like, I thought I would be in a place where more things are working well.
Yeah. So
and that it's that it feels like that it was a stretch to come up with these.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I want to honor that completely. And also I have a sense that there are more things that belong on that list that you're not seeing as resources. Like they may not, they may still need some work, but that they're working well or in place for you. So like, for example, one thing for you that comes to mind right away is like your clarity on your values and your ideas on social justice. Now there's more to be shaped around that, but that's a resource for you. Like that's a place to leverage more.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So great, I don't want to I don't want to rah-rah it because I get it. Like I get how I 100%. And also, I think there are more places that you can draw from. Like, I think you actually do have more solid places than you think you do. I think both are true.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, even my scheduling system is annoying and not working. So it's like, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, and of course the yeah, but, right? Like that's... I hear you. Okay, good. So let's keep on going. I'm going to ask this next question, but before you start writing, I want to contextualize it. So what's not working so well? And this question is not like everything under the sun goes on this list. Because, right, like we could all have a list a mile long for this. The what's not working so well, the where I want you to look at are where are the places that you're either putting energy or truly wanting to put energy that aren't like really yielding results. So, you know, for example, for me, like whenever Clubhouse rolled out, I got on it and I've not done anything with it since then. That's not going to go on my list because like that, I'm not going to have time for like Clubhouse any, maybe ever, who knows? It seems exhausting, but it's certainly not in the next 3 months, 6 months, right? So this isn't like just anything in the world that, you know, isn't working, but in a more focused way, where are the places where you're either putting energy, you have put energy, or, you know, like it would be useful for you to be, and you want to put more energy that aren't working as well as they could. And I see the look on your face. So this is not like beat up on self, or, you know, this is only look at what is useful for you within it.
I'm just super physically depleted right now, and dealing with health stuff. And the thing that there's just this huge umbrella of like, I don't feel like I have the stamina for like any of it. And I know that's temporary, and it's just so hard to keep like reframing to, no, this isn't bad. This is not, you know, the good stuff is actually good enough. And yeah, just want a nap and a hamburger again.
that is like such a very human place to be. So, and see if you can, like, for the places that you list that have legs for you, see if you can get a little detailed or prescriptive. So for example, Stephanie, social media posts lagging in engagement. So my guess is that it's not that all of your social media posts aren't working, but I want you to see if you can get prescriptive there. Is it that they're not like, you know, social media is social, right? It's like story-based, for example, or it's just like they're kind of blah, or you just like haven't been consistent, or, you know, see if you can kind of get into the detail of what's not working or what could be reformed. Yeah, Nicole, that's great, right? So the insight there is around your energy, right? So get like even more prescriptive or detailed there. Like, what is it about your energy? Like, what is the shift that your energy is wanting right now when it comes to your one-on-ones? So, Anne, same thing with you. And I know you're doing a lot of this. And, you know, like you said, part of it is the day. But if there was a tweak that could happen within what you shared in terms of the staying on top of outreach, not losing heart, whether it's an inner tweak or an outer tweak, what would that be?
Joanna, can you speak to the, like, how to kind of leverage it, like, with the tweaks? Or, like, because it's, like, I feel like mine is, like, low energy. My admin's not working, right? So partly is that they're not that specific.
Yeah. So that's the first.
Yeah.
Right. So, right. The first thing is to get more specific. So when you say admin, like, I'll ask you this, like, what is the one system that if it got tweaked, could yield you the most results, either because it will be less draining on you, easier for your clients, less time. Which one is it? Right? Or what are the top two?
Great. Okay. I'm also like asking to understand the process.
Tell me a little bit more.
Oh, just to like, if I'm going back to some of these, I know how to work my, for whatever right. We may not have time for.
So, okay. So you want to, first of all, like get detailed, right? So let's just use one of yours as an example. So tell us like, what is one of those systems? You know, not like any and all systems, you know, I have a ton of systems in my business that could be tweaked, but they're like, not all of them are gonna make a dent right now. So like for you, what is the one system that could really make a dent for you?
It's something like figuring out like number of client sessions, payments, yeah, or hire a VA.
Right. So, and when you say figure out number of client sessions, do you mean like how many you can handle in a year or?
No, like how many people, like it's so basic. So I'm like embarrassed, but it's like how many sessions out of like 13 or 25 they've done. It's like, yeah, constantly keeping track. Did they schedule all of them? Did they not? When people are rescheduling, it's like.
Yep. So even with a VA, you're going to need some systems for that, right? Because the VA is still going to, I mean, they can employ some of their own system, but they'll still look to you for some thoughts, you know, on that. So, you know, for sure, if you can bring a VA on, that's great, but I still think either yourself or, you know, with someone else to like, so, you know, the way I would do it is like, so am I best on paper and pen? Am I best? I don't know how to use Excel. So I, like for me, unless somebody set it up for me, it wouldn't be Excel, you know, whatever it is. And then what is a system that can help, you know, that can help with that. If you're not already scheduling all your sessions out in the beginning, and this is, it's like keeping track of sessions is a problem for you. I just re-recommend doing that or some version.
I actually do that now.
Okay. That's awesome. So then it's really the rescheduling that should be the big piece, right? So that would be the first system to look at. Okay. So again, we don't want to go full force on all of the things that aren't working well because that's completely overwhelming. We want to pick one, maybe two, that are going to make the most difference, that are going to make the most impact. So what are the top one or two things that you want to work on next? So Stephanie, that's a great example with the reordering and probably one that you could figure out, you know, get that system in place pretty quickly. All right. So we'll kind of take all of this into, I'm seeing what Anne's saying here. Yeah. Making sure that you have goals that match both the vision and the stamina. And I would also, if this is helpful, I would say, I think any goal can match your stamina. The question is in the timing and in the strategy, right? So if you think back to Sacred Depths, when we looked at strategizing, natural rhythms. Some people are marathoners, some people are sprinters, some people are tipping pointers, right? So you take that, kind of look at that in combination with your calendar and what you have going on and just where you are in your life. And so it's more in the strategy versus the goal. All right, so let's bring all of this into our Q&A as well as whatever else you are needing today. Lisa.
Hi. So I've been really sitting with my inner game because of I've mentioned some things to you and, you know, doing journaling and imagining I'm having conversations with you and with myself and all of that. And so what I'm wondering is if, like, I just so people know, I had another car accident this past week and somebody, and it's stupid, somebody just sideswiped me pulling out into traffic, but I'm needing to watch my headaches and things. And I don't know, the bottom line is, like I've been in 2006, I trained with as a VA with Tina and one of her associates. So I've been like on this path for like 15 years. And I've known you since 2016 and I did like sideway things. I don't know. It just feels to me like I'm wondering how much is embedded in me, these habits of like failures and obstacles. Like every time I feel like I'm getting forward, like something happens and I'm starting to wonder, is this me? Is there a part of me that like is calling this into being stronger than my own business? And I have an amazing list of things that I've accomplished over the 6 months with this woman that I've hired, and she's helping me with all my systems, which is amazing. And I need to do that part because my multitasking has weakened. Once I have my systems in place, I'll be able to feel really easily in the flow with whoever comes in and whatever they might be needing. So at this point, my question is, I'm wondering, I wrote down, separate out all the emotional battering that's been infused into my business goals and my accomplishments. It's almost like waiting for the other shoe to drop. I don't know if that makes sense, but it feels really tender. And part of this kind of links back to just being aware of my mother, who was out on the front end of things, and you know, what kinds of fears I might have. And this might not even be the container for looking at that. It's just a thread. I'm not talking about her specifically, just what I took away from, oh, when women stand out front, bam. So I know that that's a thread that's not even a thread. That's something that's really woven in to me. I don't know if I'm clear on what I'm asking for. I'm asking if there's some way that I might be subconsciously blocking myself in my business by calling in yet another epic reason not to step up, which gives me a free pass to say, oops.
Yeah.
Another crisis.
Right. First, I just want to acknowledge how hard it has been, like another car accident. I mean, I hear you. And I understand why you're asking this question. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer, but I understand why you're asking this question. Tell me if I'm getting this right. The part that I hear that you are clear on is that you have this embedded belief that when women start to stand up for themselves, there's going to be something that's going to knock them down. Yeah. And so then from there, the question is that belief, tell me if I'm getting this right, because I might not be. I think what you're asking is that belief actually causing all of these shit sandwiches?
That's what I'm wondering now.
I know you don't know, but let's try this. Is it okay to close your eyes for a moment? Mm-hmm. Where in your body are you being called to check in with your wisdom right now? Your heart, your throat, anywhere?
Yeah, my throat and my stomach.
Okay, great. So just connect in with both of those places, with the wisdom there. And is there one that's feeling more of a pull than the other right now, more of a call?
I don't know if this is wisdom so much as like what's like, woof.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your body is calling to you either way, right? So just be with that feeling and ask it what it wants you to know about all of this.
My throat is in a tug of war of it's time to speak up. And oh my God, please don't.
Yeah. What's the fear behind the please don't?
Death. Yeah. Death, dismemberment. You know. When you get seen, there are people out there who just go for the throat.
Is it okay to keep on going a little bit?
What's that?
Is it okay for us to keep on going?
Yeah.
Connect in with your heart. You feel it?
Yeah.
What does the wisdom in your heart want you to know?
You've got this. It's time, we're good. We're strong, we have backing of the seen and unseen. You're doing as I've asked.
Chills. Yeah. Yeah, good. You're doing really well. Continue to stay with your heart. Ask your heart what you can do when the fear comes up.
Yeah, come into my heart. Whoever's in my throat is calmed. I need to lead from my heart.
Feel into that, breathe into that, breathe into that knowing and into that truth. Continue to connect with your heart. And ask your heart, even with this latest car accident, what can you do this week to move yourself forward?
Well, I wrote it in my list of, I have time saved in my acuity scheduling for spaces and to fully inhabit those spaces in actuality and not just as an amorphous time saved in my schedule, to transfer those hours into my everyday calendar so that I can inhabit those hours more fully.
Yeah. There's you know, risk in anything, right?
Right.
Are you willing to take that risk?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I feel my warrior self feeling more emboldened. again, in the warrior, not so much that I'm coming out slashing, but a person who inhabits a warrior, they just have to stand there and people don't mess with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Good. So continue to lean into that. And then last question for right now. What is your heart? What's the perspective that your heart wants you to have about the shit sandwiches?
Just start flicking it off. Like, nope.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Good. Take one more moment. You can open your eyes when you're ready. How are you feeling?
Good. Thank you. Yeah. I'll have to watch back.
Good. You did really good work.
Thank you.
And I'll just leave you with this one piece. Like, it's step by step, right? You don't have to like do this next piece of inhabiting the space and then go back into your heart and then do the next piece and go back into your heart and do the next piece, right? It's taking each little step.
Yeah, that was a very powerful experience to once I dropped in my heart, the other stuff just. So.
I could feel it energetically.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Stephanie.
Did you call my name?
I did.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I thought I heard it. Yeah, so I feel like I don't have the question totally articulated, but I'm just going to talk and see what comes up. this is about a client that I was working with yesterday. And what was coming up for them is a lot of scarcity stuff. They haven't really been putting a lot of energy and like time into building their business. And they've been feeling like they need to just get like a month ahead of their finances in order to feel like they can make space for that. And so they've been doing a lot of work with their day job at the expense of their business. And like a lot of, they've made a lot of progress. It's not like tangible stuff. They've been doing a lot of inner work, but the business isn't actually that much farther along than when we first started working together. It's been like 6 months. So, and I think they saw that. At the end of our conversation, one of the things I was tossing in was that this belief that in order to get ahead of their finances, that they had to just sort of like dig their heels in and work harder at their day job. How that might not be like the only option of like, what if like actually making the space for your business could also open up income streams? And I think they got a little defensive and like resistant around that and started talking about how like, you know, most of the people who are like really making it in the herb world are starting out at like a much more financially stable place and have a lot more resources, and how like it's not necessarily true that you can just like go all into your business and like make the money that you need to make. And I responded by saying like, yes, like there's absolutely truth to that. There's income inequality exists. And like trying to distance myself, because what they were pointing to is like sort of like a critique of this, like, you can do anything sort of like right. thing that people do in general, but like in the coaching world as well. And try to be clear, like, that's not what I'm saying. Like there's a balancing act between like recognizing that there is structural inequality and there are real obstacles that exist for people, and also like not letting that get in the way of you doing the work to make the business happen, and that you need to, at the same time as understanding that, also believe that it is possible for you to like for that other reality to be possible. Anyway, I feel like I didn't handle it as well as I could. I mean, it resolved fine, but like, it got me thinking and wondering, like, am I holding enough space for that reality? Like, which used to be my reality of like not having enough to get by. Am I like so distanced from that now that like my own filter can't see like the real problems and the struggle that that represents for like a starting out business owner? So yeah, just wondering like, yeah, is my filter getting in the way there? And like, what would be maybe a better way to handle that? Because a lot of the folks that I work with are just starting out. A lot of folks I work with don't have a lot of resources. And I want to make sure I'm not like bypassing that reality.
Yeah.
While still like holding hope and possibility for them. Does that make sense?
100%. 100%. So first of all, I mean, just the fact that you're aware of your filter means that you're checking it, right? So it doesn't sound, and I'm checking my filter as I'm responding to you, like it doesn't sound to me like you're bypassing. It sounds to me like you're very aware of structural inequality and very aware of what it can be like starting out in a business where there isn't as much resource. You didn't tell this person to quit their job. You didn't tell this person like, just believe and you'll receive. I don't think whatever that stuff is out there, right? If I heard you correctly, and I might not have like understood the detail, but what I heard you say is like, this person is trying to work extra and they feel like they have to get ahead by a month in order to put more attention into their business. Mm-hmm. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
So that's really different than like, I need a job while I start my business. Mm-hmm. Like that, the what's going into that is like, I need to overwork in order to devote time to my business. Mm-hmm. Now, if their job isn't meeting their current financial needs, that's different, right? So then it's not overwork, it's like working more to meet the current financial needs. But if the current and anyone, by the way, call me out because I have filters too, right? But if the current financial needs are met and they're saying the extra time and space that I have, I need to work more at this job versus use some of that time to devote to my business, that's when I do think it's less about structural inequality and more around fears and belief.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I could have gotten more clarity on that. You know, part of me didn't want to ask into specifics. Because I think I still hold a lot of those like beliefs around like, don't talk about money, even though like I talk about money all the time and hate that belief. But like, yeah, I guess I wasn't clear for myself.
Okay, so that's actually great, right? Because like, if I were in conversation with this client, like one of the first things I would do is actually get really specific, right? So like, what are the current financial needs? Are there any additional financial needs that the business would need, like just in the next month, 2 months, 3 months, right? Like not forever, right? But that you would need monthly just to move forward in the ways that you want to move forward. Is the current income bringing that in? Right. And then if the answer is no, then there's even still more looking to do. Then the next place of looking is like, okay, so what's the gap? What's the actual money differential? Is filling, you know, $300, $1,000, like whatever that differential is it better served overworking to get to that? Or is it better served working in the business?
Yeah.
To get to that, right? So then it like is, you don't have to check your filters as much then, even because then it's just this equal playing field with the numbers and the time. And then it can allow you to see what's actually needed or if there are limiting beliefs and how to hold the hope with the reality.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems so obvious as you're saying it. So I'm like, why didn't I ask those questions in the moment?
Well, so you answered why, right? Because even though you talk about money all the time, there you've still got some stuff around it. So this is great. Like, it's just kind of poking through that next layer, you know, and maybe you want to do some journaling around like, what is that next layer of discomfort around talking about money? Why does it make you feel uncomfortable? Or why do you hold on it?
Totally. Yeah, I think there's like the culturally prescriptive ideas of what's acceptable conversation. I think that's part of it. But I think another piece of it is like the fact that I do make more now. And I think part of me feels uncomfortable being in a better financial position, trying to advise people that don't have enough and like self-consciousness about the distance I have from that and like worried how I've forgotten, you know?
So that exactly, Stephanie, is what blurred your intuition and your wisdom to ask these questions that seem so obvious.
Now. Yeah.
That right there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the next piece of work for you is owning your level of financial abundance, not having guilt around it. And also looking at beliefs that it disconnects you from people that don't have that level of financial abundance.
Mm.
And I feel like just because I know you, there's like a piece in there too around like, so now I'm not real enough, or I'm not activist enough, or I'm not like justice, I'm not for the people enough or something. Total BS, by the way, but I just wanted to like, call it out.
Yeah. No, that feels very accurate. yeah. Okay. So again, then money work just keeps coming back over and over again. And yeah, I like the reminder to like come back to the facts and the reality of it as a way to not only check the fear, like, is the fear based in reality? But like, that's really important work to come back to the facts, because that's what's often overlooked when we talk about money mindset. It's like, no, where, what's actually your position? Like what's accessible, what isn't? So yeah, thank you. That's helpful.
Awesome. Good. Tina.
Hello.
Hi.
So I have two questions. I'll ask the first one. The other one feels important too, and maybe it can be quick at the end. But the first one, just based on what we were working on with the questions and what I was personally working on too, is like, I feel like I'm at this edge of like, I'm celebrating. There's just so much clarity around like my thought leadership and my systems, like the systems, like signature systems that I teach and, you know, the tools that I teach and all of that. So like, I'm feeling really good there. And then also that is the place that I want to lean into more, because I'm basically at a bottleneck where I feel like I am working a lot, or like, you know, expending a lot of energy in my business, not making enough money. And I see it's like in the gaps of like, I just need some really solid core offerings so I can create some solid funnels and a launch plan and all of that. So I see that's my edge to lean into. So right now I've got my one-on-one coaching package. I mean, they're not even packages. So this is the thing, everything's kind of like loosey-goosey. So I've got the one-on-one coaching, and then I have this group program that I've offered. You know, I've always offered some form of a group program that's like 3 months, 6 weeks or 8 weeks. It was usually somewhere around there. And I've been doing it around eclipse season lately, and I'm like loving it. It's like my third time doing it. I wanted to do it as a group program, but my thing is I always launch too late and I don't grow my list enough first. So it ended up turning into a one-on-one kind of hybrid. Like we had opening circle, we have closing circle tonight. And then it was like 5 one-on-one sessions and then videos, like training videos each week. So I like it because it's giving me really good feedback. Next time I launch it in November, I would like it to be group with an option for like some one-on-one upgrade. So that's something I'm going to build out this year. But so I guess my question, I'm trying to like formulate my question because like there are a lot of sticky areas here. I feel like I love to teach. I love to create resources. And I feel like it's almost like hacks. Like for me, like having like someone give me a system or resource that I can use, like your blueprinting system, you know, those type of things are so powerful for me. And I sense in my one-on-one coaching, it's just been like show up on the call, hold space. Sometimes I'll give like a journaling question for homework, but I love having systems I can give or like worksheets I can give or guided meditations. And I have been starting to build them out, but I guess like where I'm feeling like the gap is, sometimes I'm like, oh, if I had a system for that, I could just give it to them. So I'm kind of like looking at the combination of like in my one-on-one work or like when you do one-on-one work or when you did, like what is the combination of just showing up on the call each week and holding space versus like being able to also be like, oh, here's my like mindfulness, like jumpstart program that you can have too. Because there's so much that like for me, mindfulness and all of those tools are foundational. And even the people that I work with tend to be sensitives, prone to stress. So for me, it kind of is a baseline. And a lot of people come for like meditation coaching, but I don't just want to teach meditation in the calls. I want to do real coaching. So I guess this is what's happening. Like I'm trying to blend and then know where to use my energy. Like, should I be using my energy now to create some of these like small like programs that I can then just give to my one-on-one clients? So that's where I'm at. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Instead of asking you some questions, I'm going to just tell you what I think. Tell me if that resonates or not. Yes and yay to having those resources. And I think they're a distraction from doing some of those other things that you spoke about a few minutes before, the outreach, the growing the audience, the bringing people into programs. I get that you feel like you need to have them in order to bring more people into programs. But in this, like my sense is that the priority is the outreach. And so maybe you can like set up a game or challenge for yourself where it's like, for each new client that you bring in, you'll create one resource, like one handout or one, you know, training or whatever it is, so that it's not that you're leaving it behind, but you're not distracting from what, and you can tell me if this doesn't resonate or you don't feel this is true, but so you're not distracting from what the dire need is in your business right now, which is to bring in more income.
Yeah. So I think my question was different. That I know, and that's like separate, but what I sense is my one-on-one packages could be more, way more powerful if I did have some places I could direct them. Cause like some people are like, oh, do you have like, again, do we spend the beginning of the calls on just doing basic meditation teaching, or would it be more useful that I had like meditation jumpstart in a box, take this, come on the calls with your questions, we can lean in, but also we're going to then work on the bigger things in your life that we're trying to, you know what I mean? So for me, it's like, I sense that there is a space where building out some of these resources to then give for homework or in between would be really powerful. So I guess the question is like, is this typically what happens to coaches when they're just kind of starting out and right. They're like, let's just hop on the call and see where things go. And then they decide they want to do more like teaching.
Right. So because you have this, like the meditation piece, it may be different. I mean, plenty of practitioners just show up. I mean, I did forever. I just show up and then do what needs to happen in the session. And then maybe create a worksheet afterwards if I see it would be helpful for that client and probably helpful for other clients or you know, create a meditation or whatever it is. So I don't think it's normal or out of normal. I think it's what your business requires. What I'm hearing is that what the work that you do with clients requires instruction on meditation. And so they can either get the show up and get the instruction, or you can have that as separate. And I guess like back to what the question that you didn't ask that I was answering, I think you should move forward in creating those things piece by piece by piece, just not at the expense of your marketing.
Okay. I guess I have been, so I have been, but sometimes I just don't give myself, like, I'm like, oh, I should, that would be helpful. And then I don't go back to give myself time to do it. And then it comes up again with another client that it would be helpful. So I'm finding myself in that rhythm. And I was just curious what was, if it was like a standard. And even with your programs, I see that, you know, but it's different because you're teaching us systems. But I'm right. Anna has so many things that we can watch the library.
So even with my private clients, like I do refer them to that, but I never created like in advance specifically for it. It's just what's been accumulated over time and as needed.
Got it. Okay. So yeah. And again, I love teaching. Like, I feel like I love teaching even more than I love coaching. And my big picture, like, I want to have books. Like, I don't even know that I want to keep doing one-on-one coaching. But now I find it useful in like really solidifying my skills and getting feedback. And so I'm like at that place. But I think I want to grow into a place where I'm more teaching and giving systems and writing books and creating programs and more that. So I think that like I'm just kind of in the transition space and
I agree. I think you're in a transition space and I think it's like all positive, you know, that like you have, like you said, you have your systems, you have your body of work, you know, you're clear on it. The question now is just like with the amount of time that you have, where do you devote?
Yeah.
So I don't make it a priority, but fit it in as you go along. Or like an alternative idea is to do a class that's like meditation 101, bring some people into it, teach the class, make money from it, maybe move those people into privates, but then you have that resource for your private work.
Totally. Yeah. I think maybe that's what I'll start doing then, just the basic stuff and then do like micro or mini sort of trainings on it. That feels good. And then with my one-on-one, I've been giving 3 month, 6 month option. And then 6 months, you just save more per month or if you pay in full or whatever it is, it's the same. But like everyone starts with 3 months, then they up level. But I'm sort of thinking like, is it more better to like say 6 months is the minimum? Like when you're really coming in from like a baseline, like 3 months seems a little short. Like if people were to end after 3 months, I'd feel bummed out that it's like, we're just getting.
So long as your energetic level is at a place where in an enrollment conversation, you can own that the lowest price and time investment is the 6 months. If that feels like oh my God, that would never work, then keep the 3 months and work towards it. If you feel like you're at a place where that can confidently, you know, be your smaller offer and you see that people really need the 6 months, right? For sure.
Okay. That makes sense actually. Yeah. Cause I do have a little, that's why I've started with 3 months. Cause it feels like, okay, I can do this, but
it's all. But you've been doing that for a while. So maybe, right? Like check in. Yeah. Maybe it's different now.
Okay. Perfect. If I post a question in the group, I haven't been in the group in so long, but I can get some feedback there too. Yeah. I'll put my second one in the group.
Okay. And there might still be time too, if you hang on, but yeah, for sure. You can put it in the Facebook group too.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm just catching a little bit of what's going on in the chat. So I haven't read through all of it, but I feel like I want to say something, which is that, and again, this is just my truth with a capital T, but and you can argue with it, but I feel like it's pretty reliable. There's just no business that doesn't have moments. Call it whatever you want, hustle or whatever. There are uptick moments. It's like there is no such thing as it's just going to be like spacious and like flow like all the time. I like challenge anyone in this group like to say like, no, that's how my business has been, right? So anybody that tells you that out there, like I feel pretty confident saying that they're just like feeding you a load of bullshit, right? Like they just, it's a lie. It is a lie. There are, whatever you want to call it, there are hustle moments in business. The beginning is usually one of those hustle moments. I think that obviously I am a believer and wanter for myself and for everyone of space and flow. And there's a tendency to overwork and overcomplicate things. Yes to all of those things. And also, when a baby is born, the mama needs to push harder. Like it is right. And then the next time there's a growth spurt, that baby's body is working more or needs more food or right. Like it's just there are moments that require more, you know, and we don't want to stay at that higher level forever. But it's just a non-reality to keep it at a baseline. All right, I'll get off my soapbox now. Inbal.
I'm smiling sheepishly because I really want to invite you to have beginner's mind, Joanna. So I was asked to do another consultancy. And it's a lot of money. And so it's interesting because, I mean, it's like $13,000 a month. But, and so it's like, there's different things like, you know, it's like, who am I like to say no to that kind of money? And you know, it's also like, so I'm kind of, you know, at first I was like, so basically at first I said, no, like I'm not doing this. And then I spoke with my friend, who told me about the money and other things that were like built into it. But I do think, so now I'm kind of like just making sure that there's no scope creep. Creep, that it's like, basically it's like I sign up for something and then they're like, oh, and do this and do that. So I was just going with like a fine tooth comb, like understanding like what the actual deliverables are. And so there's a part of me that's like, look, this is steady work. Can I just like do it over 9 months instead of over, you know, or do it over 10 months instead of over 7 months? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's like, you know, like a bargaining with the devil or like if there is, because if I don't say yes, they're not going to do this. They're just not going to do these pieces of work because they're so short staffed. Mm-hmm. So I do feel like they've already like done all these waivers that they don't need to post it, that they would just hire me. And, you know, the work is kind of like boring, but it's also like not. So my two concerns are like being clear about the deliverables and the timing. And then the other piece is, yeah, that because I'm here in Pacific time zone, I can't do like 5 a.m. mornings like on a regular basis. So the challenge is that, you know, especially after the last 6 months, not just with the consulting work, but with the loneliness and things that I've mentioned, is that like, I really want to take like better care of my health. So yeah, I don't know if I'm like delusional And I'm not saying that like lightly. And if there's any, because also like the idea of not doing it, you know, like makes my heart pound.
Right.
But also doing it makes me feel really tired, you know, and then we're doing this exercise and I'm like, it's the same shit over and over again. So that's also like, that's also really impacting my confidence. Yeah. And just my like relationship to myself and all the investment I've made, you know, and getting support for my business over the years.
Right. Well, and it's like, and also there have been very few moments where you've been fully present to your business. I always think it's kind of awesome, like what you've been able to create with the amount of presence. But that's a separate story. So we could look at this exactly in the way that, Stephanie, when like that Stephanie and I were talking about her thing, not so much about the money piece, although, you know, that can play in, you know, and just look logistically. Would that be helpful?
Yeah, whatever you think is like kind of, you know, to like a very familiar situation. So I don't know if I'm grasping onto things that like, it'll be different this time.
Right. Well, so let's see and just try to be as honest as you can with yourself, right? So top priority is taking care of yourself. So I know it's like hard to quantify how much time in a week or a month you need to really take care of yourself well, because there's so much that goes into, you know, taking good care. But if you could quantify it, how much time do you need?
Yeah, it's so hard for me to think of, like, I don't want to like get stuck here, but it kind of reminds me of like the ideal schedule where it's like you're looking at the time off first and then you're looking at like the business stuff.
Exactly. So so that piece, right? That's piece one that you would want to do if you don't want to like, right? So like in order to take really good care of yourself, I want you to put your time off first. Right. So like block out whatever time the afternoon or evening start where it's like no work. It's just in-ball time. Right. Same in the mornings. And then if like things like massage or exercise have to happen even like in those days, that time gets blocked off within as well. That makes sense what I just said. Right. And so then the next question after there is how much time do you need a month in order to move forward on your business goals, right? So maybe you look at what are your business goals for the next 6 months? What are the strategies, right? And then like, and then add contingency time to that. And I'm gonna say like for every hour that you think you need, add at least another half hour, if not double it. So we're adding 50 to 100% contingency time.
Yeah.
And then block that time off. And then see what's left, if anything. And then based on what's left, see how many months the work that they want you, and I'm glad you're using all of your lawyer skills to go through with a fine-tooth comb and just like real clarity on their deliverables and all of that, you know, have a solid contract around it. But so like from there, then go through like all of the deliverables that they need and see, well, with the amount of time that you have left, if there is any, how many months would that take? And also like, what are the hours that, you know, generally that you would be doing that work in? And then, I mean, the good news is you're their only game in town, right? Like they're only looking at you. So you have some leverage, right? So you go and you can say like, you know, depending on how the numbers work out, like, yes, but this is how I'm going to do this. Your company, you know, your organization needs this, but this is the way, these are the hours, and this is the way, this is the only way I can do it. And then see from there. So it's like a process of like getting really clear, and then a process of standing by your boundaries. You know, I'm going from there.
Yeah, it was so, it's like seeing the number, and my friend was really, she's like, look, let me just tell you how much money this is. And she's like, not that it's everything, but, but then I was like, wait, yeah, it's a lot of money, but it's also a lot of fucking work.
Right. So that's the other piece. Like, you know, we all have our own priorities, right? And you get to decide yours, but just be clear with, and I support you no matter what, by the way, but just be clear that if you decide to take the money, but it doesn't match up with the hours after you do that inquiry, then you are choosing the money over your coaching practice. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I just want you to own whatever decision you make.
Can you say that last part again? About choosing.
Mm-hmm. If you do all the, like the process I just gave you with the time,
mm-hmm.
and it just can't work out with the consultancy because of the what you figure out with the time, there's nothing wrong with choosing the consultancy. It's just that you need to be clear that for the next year or however long it is, you are choosing the money over your coaching practice and to fully own that decision.
Yeah, I'm trying to get like, it's like, yeah, a friend who's like, well, that's kind of a big leap and all of these things. But I think like the other thing I just want to say out loud is that it's hard to quantify business building. So it's like, even if my coaching practice doesn't generate the same amount, like that's not, it's a false equivalency.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. I want to hear like what your calculations bring you to.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Shamit.
Hi, Joanna. I've just recently had someone very close to me pass away, and I'm sitting in a lot of grief around it, and to the point that I've had to cancel one-on-one sessions in the last few days, and it's really hit me hard. I know everything happens for a reason, but I'm sitting in a lot of regret. Because he, you know, he was the teacher that introduced me to ritual and ceremony, and really in my early 20s, like really did the work that I'm doing now and paved the way for me. And so in a lot of ways, he was like a spiritual father, and I was supposed to do some work with him. Mm-hmm. And then we moved to Sweden, and I thought, that's okay. I can do it when I'm in Sweden because it's in Portugal. And so I went to look up what he's up to and maybe sign up for something once COVID, you know, all this stuff, and found out that he's passed. And my question is how, because I've got this priestess training and I'm holding space for everyone in the training. And luckily I'm going on holiday for the next few weeks so I can take some time to grieve. But I want to know from you and maybe anybody else in the group, like, how do I hold the container of energy when I'm feeling so much grief myself? So I'm really struggling with that because I've put these two sessions off, but I actually have to do them before Friday. I mean, I don't have to, but I I feel be there, you know.
When you say these two sessions, you mean the private sessions or the group session? They're private sessions?
Private sessions, yeah.
First of all, I'm so, so sorry. I'm really just sending you love.
Yeah, thank you.
Big deal. Yeah. And
just crying my eyes out for 2 days. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that you're allowing yourself the space to grieve, you know, and really connecting with yourself in that way.
Yeah. Thank you.
And as you know, and this is embedded in all of the work that you do, like grief is important to pay attention to and make space for, right? There's almost like magical timing that you have these weeks off right now. It's like part of your soul, right? When you planned it, like knew that you needed the space.
Well, the uncanny part of it all is that I just taught a workshop on death and rebirth.
Wow.
And, you know, he's one of the teachers that we did a ceremony where we had to attend our own funeral. So he actually had a coffin that we were lying in the coffin, like amazing, amazing. And this is in my early 20s. He was such a powerful teacher for me. And so I taught this workshop, you know, so and I find out he's passed. It's like,
yeah, so it's like, so right, like your soul is already like on top of things in a way, right? Like you're so intuitive. And so I would encourage you to trust your intuition, you know, like you carved this time. So take it. And I just want to challenge the belief that you have to do these two private sessions before you go away. Do you? I mean, I don't know, only you know, but is it true that you have to do these two sessions?
These two clients are really struggling. So I feel it's important, but yeah, I'll keep feeling into that. Maybe just one, maybe I just need to do one of them. Yeah.
Okay. So remember, like, it doesn't serve a client in every situation to do a session with them if you're not energetically there for it, right? And sometimes we can force ourselves into it. I've certainly been there, right? But I'm hearing like already you're discerning. There's one that actually will serve her more or them more to wait, right? And then the other one you're feeling into, and you'll, and if it turns out that like, yes, you do, not from guilt or responsibility or, you know, like whatever that you feel like, no, it is important and you can do it, then you nourish yourself beforehand in whatever way you need to. In terms of your group.
It's almost.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's almost, Joanna, it's almost like the universe, you know, has this cosmic sense of humor of, do you really back what you're saying? Because yes. I was talking about how, you know, when we honor death, that yes, physically they die, but they're still there and accessible on the spirit level. But, you know, it's not really the same, is it? You don't get hugs and cuddles and, you know, my dad died when I was 19, and it feels like that heart-wrenching feeling that I felt when he passed. And yes, I can connect with his soul. Yes, I can connect with his spirit, but it is not the same.
Yeah.
And so it's like, here I taught this workshop, and then boom. It's like, and I think that, you know, that piece, but then the regret piece of why didn't I study with him a few years ago when I said, sure, it'll be fine, I can do it later. And then, you know, it's like, I'm kicking myself a bit too. Yeah.
So there's, yes. Right. So there's some forgiveness. There's some forgiveness there, right? And self-compassion, right? And self-trust also work that is being asked for right now. And then the other, you know, the other thing I would just ask or say or ask is like, what is it that you want to role model for your clients right now?
It's interesting because I know a few of them are suffering a lot of grief as well due to death.
And so it's like, do you want to role model like being strong and pretending that the grief isn't there, you know, pull, you know, or do you want to role model honoring the grief and trusting the containers that you've created, right? So to really think about that too.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Thank you. That actually really helps. That really resonates because actually I was been thinking a lot about how, you know, originally I was taught in my training to leave all of my emotion and my stuff and myself on the outside of the session. And, you know, and more I'm realizing that people feel it anyways, intuitively. And when you bring that in and make it part, that there's an authenticity there that is felt. Yeah, I'm getting some nods. Yeah. So bringing that in the right amount.
Right. As you're ready. Only as
it's the right amount though, isn't it, Joanne?
Yes, only as you're ready, right? Yeah. Like, if you feel strong enough that you can stay grounded, right, and focused on your clients while still bringing all of yourself, yes. If you feel like you're on shaky ground, then you wait.
Yeah, that's right. So your medicine is honoring the grief. And bringing that medicine to the people I'm working with when I'm ready, when I'm grounded. That's what I'm hearing.
And modeling for them that it is okay to take time to grieve. Such a deep learning, you know?
Yeah.
That we, like as humans, that we need. There are things that come before work, even if our work is our like soul's work and purpose and mission. That's part of being a priestess.
Thank you. That feels really good. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sending you love.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, everyone. We are at time. So good to see all of you. Sending you all lots of love. If you need anything, let me know. You know where to find me. Have a good rest of your day.